RSM Central's Form Express.
Time for the Form Express on this Friday, and it's a big Form Express coming up. We're going to kick it all off at Flemington tomorrow. And before we get the thoughts of Mark Guest on that meeting, Tiana Robertson, she's got Fabergino going around there in the Kensington Stakes. This is what she had to say on Racing Pulse.
She can absorb a lot of pressure, and she's got that high cruising speed which she can maintain throughout the run. So there'd be no reason to change her racing pattern for tomorrow. And on paper, it looks like a really good race for her. She dropped a little bit of weight on her last start, and she ran a good time, even with the 61.5. And so really looking forward to getting her back to the races tomorrow.
That's Tiana Robertson on Fabergino. Another one of the big chances in that feature race at Flemington tomorrow is Prezzato. And this is what Simon Zara had to say.
Yeah, well, he's going well. He's obviously had a good time out at the farm. He put 22 kilos on, so he gets up there and lets down quite well. And so we're sort of bringing him back, and he had a nice jump out here on last Friday. Had a good blow and had a pretty easy week. So I think he looks better. He just looked probably a touch flat after that Moonee Valley run first up, and I think we've had a better time going into this race than we have the last.
Yeah, Alan and Zara, they've got Sword of Mercy as well in that same race. That was Simon Zara on Prezzato. Another one of the major players in the Kensington Stakes is Halvorsen, been jumping out superbly. This is what Robbie Griffiths had to say about that galloper.
You know, he's pretty sort of one-dimensional in the way he races. You switch him off and you cover him up. So one can be a big plus for him in the sense that he gets the cover straight away, and then he'll be coming across the back of the field and closing late, you know. So you would really think that, Fabergino, Prezzato and, you know, Pandemic and those horses that are racing so well would have the upper hand. And, so I would have thought that winning would be a bonus, you know, for us because we've been a long time off the scene. But it is encouraging when you see how well he trialled on Monday morning. But the main thing for us is that he pleases us on Saturday. As long as he closes strong at the end and gives us the encouragement that he'll go into the Lightning in good order and come out in good order and be a super chance of winning the Newmarket.
That's Robbie Griffiths on Halvorsen. Going to be a cracking race, the Kensington Stakes at Flemington tomorrow. And Mark Guest joins us with his specials at that meeting. Hello, Guesty.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm going well. You're not on the Gold Coast, are you?
No, I'm not, mate. I'm in the studio tonight for the Moonee Valley meeting.
No, oh, you'd be sorely missed then, I'd say.
I'll get there tomorrow, hopefully.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, where do we start with your specials at headquarters tomorrow?
I thought the second race, number four, Hasseltoff, I just love the way he's coming along. That was a very good win. I mean, it was a bit unlucky at Flemington, two starts, but you could argue, and then won easily, and I can see him doing it again. So hold his form in the Robbie Griffiths stable. Going super. I'm with him. Race two, number four, Hasseltoff. Race, that's the first special.
And then where do we head?
Race five, number three, Overexposure, who was most unlucky at Flemington over 1,400. Won 1,600, no question about that. And should get a lovely run. Damien Lane for Tony McAvoy. Very hard to beat. Race five, number three, Overexposure. I think you're getting around the $2.60 at the moment.
Yeah, $2.60 currently with the tab. We'll have Calvin McAvoy on in a couple of minutes' time. And then where do we head with the third of your specials, Guesty?
Yeah, well, I'm buoyed by what Robbie Griffiths said about the whole horse. He seems pretty confident. And, looking at that jump out, I think he's going as well as ever. And I just feel the short distance, fresh, he's going to be extremely hard to beat. Might not get back as far as what he has in previous times. So I just feel that with the that jump out looked like he was very forward. So I'm happy around the $7, Halvorsen, in a race where it's going to be pretty competitive. But race seven, number four, is my third special.
Okay, so race two, number four, Hasseltoff. Race five, number three, Overexposure. And race seven, number four, Halvorsen. Guesty, you're in form. I believe you got two out of your three up last week. What's the best of your specials this week?
I'm with Hasseltoff, race two, number four, and my value runner there would be Mr. Meter, race eight, number 12, around, I think it's $10 at the moment, so she was pretty good last time.
Okay, Mr. Meter there at Flemington. Have you got a thought there on the Gold Coast? Have you done much form for the Goldie tomorrow?
Really, I've been looking at the Gold Coast for the last 6 weeks, but I know it's drawn a wide gap, Barry, and she's all class, but look, there looks to be a little bit of speed there. The barrier doesn't look as bad when you take out the emergency. So if she only has to run up to what she did at the Guineas meeting, going back a couple of starts ago, or last start when she raced, if she lives up to that, she should be very hard to beat. I know she's favourite, but I'm with her. She's all class for James McDonald in the Waller camp.
Yeah, what about in the three-year-old? It looks like a race between two in Away Game and Isotope, or is there one that we've forgotten about?
No, I think you have to believe what you see, and Isotope's going enormous. So I think it may be able to get the money there.
Guesty, good luck over the next couple of days, particularly at Flemington tomorrow.
Thanks, mate. Need it.
There we go. Mark Guest with his thoughts on Flemington. He says that every week that he needs luck, but he's been doing very well lately, Guesty. 2 out of 3 specials last week. And he is certainly in form. A stable that's also in form is the McAvoy stable. And Calvin McAvoy joins us on Central this morning. Hello, Calvin.
Yeah, hi, Matt. How are you going?
Going well, thank you. You've got a busy team heading to Murray Bridge tomorrow. But more importantly for us, Flemington, you've got two really good chances. The first is Overexposure in race number 5. He's just been very unlucky last start. He looks very tough to beat. One of Guesty's specials there tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. He was, Damien Lane rode him last start. And Damien sort of doesn't often give, too much up or down. He's pretty level, and he just got off him and said, should have won by 2 or 3 lengths. So unfortunately, he just zigged when he should have zagged, and he didn't quite get the breaks. But the horse is flying, and he's trained on well, had a nice piece of work earlier in the week. And I think up to the mile now and third up, it's a really good recipe for him to get back in the winner's stall.
They're expecting him to be winning there tomorrow at Flemington?
Yeah, I think so. If he brings his, he's a stakes winner. He's always shown us good ability, and he's had his fair share of problems throughout his career. He's lovely and sound, and I think he's just in a really good headspace, so I expect him to be very hard to beat, yes.
Yeah, he does look tough to beat. That's race 5, number 3, Overexposure. The other of your runners at Flemington tomorrow is Coolf in race 8. What did you make of his second up run, Calvin?
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed in it, to be honest. We've got this long-range plan for this horse to possibly get him to the Adelaide Cup, but we sort of think that's the sort of horse we think he is, and he's a definite stayer. And that's why we sort of ran over a mile, and then it was a month to a 1700. But I think he was just a bit dour for it. We've trained him on strong. It's another month between runs up to the 2000. Blinker's gone for the first time. I've actually been bringing this horse down to Ballarat. He's been trained at Flemington, but been coming down to Ballarat, and he's done a couple of good solid pieces of work up there, up the hill here, which he's done beautifully, and I think he's in a really good spot as well, and I'm hoping he can get back in the winner's stall. He's a horse with a lot of ability, but I think now that we continue to step him up in distance, he'll start to show it.
Yeah, and you mentioned Blinker's first time. How did he work in those?
Yeah, really good. Look, he relaxed early. They sort of don't seem to phase him early on in the pieces of work, which is really what you want to see when you put Blinkers on a horse at this distance. It's not particularly to sharpen them up for 2,000 metres. It's more for when the jockey asked him to go. That's when we want him to kick in.
Yeah, so the two runners there at Flemington tomorrow, I take it Overexposure is the best?
Yeah, no doubt. He's the best for sure.
All right, we're backing Overexposure there at Flemington. In race number 5, you've got a big team heading to Murray Bridge as well. What's the best of your chances there?
Yeah, look, I think the mare at 10. She's in fantastic order. She's been looking for the 1400, which we've got her to now. She's in race 7, so I think she's probably one of the ones I'm looking forward to there the most.
Good on you, Calvin. Good luck over the next couple of days.
Thanks, Matt.
There we go. Calvin McAvoy previewing his runners at Flemington and Murray Bridge tomorrow. Racing heads to Rose Hill in New South Wales. Ron Duffy has done the form there. Good morning, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, Matt.
So is it a touch weaker there at Rose Hill tomorrow with a lot of good racing elsewhere around the country?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a pretty even program. There were a couple of races, and it's tough work trying to find three specials, in fact. But look, we've got a good track to work with. Normal rail, Rose Hill's had a bit of work done on it, so it should be a perfect track.
All right, where do we go with your specials?
The first is short, huge wraps on this. This might be the start of a multi for you, but Remark looks the goods. He's a beautifully bred schnitzel colt trained by Team Hawks. They went up even money Wednesday. It lasted about 1 minute. He's really looked the part at the trials, and looking at him, I'm a believer. He's just savaged the line at his latest trial, settling much better than his first trial. So could be one for the future to keep an eye on as far as the Blue Diamond and Clipper's concerned. So start off with him, race one, number seven. Race five, I don't mind number 10, Count the Rupee, with 52 kilos on his back here. He had a little bit of support last start in town, and he just got too far back on that heavy track from a better draw here with no weight. I see him mapping a lot better, and he's a little above average, so I think he can bounce back here. Race 5, number 10, Count the Rupee. And I think there's fantastic value in race 7 here with number 6, Blazer Trail. Early on as a two-year-old, I thought this was the Golden Slipper horse. When he ran third in the Golden Gift, he's a lovely horse. And then he had a few little problems, and then he had two runs in February, March last year, and he just didn't handle wet tracks. He's changed stables, and Matt Vella has given him two runs last prep for confidence. He won them both very easily. Two nice trials leading into this. I think he's a very promising horse in the making. He'll go a lot further than all these horses in this race. So $8.59, I think he's worth a go. I think he's the bet of the day. Race 7, number 6, Blazer Trail.
Oh, that's great news. Bet of the day there for Ron Duffercy at Rose Hill. Race 7, number 6, Blazer Trail at $8.50. We're also backing race 5, number 10, Count de Rupee at $4. And we get things off to a bang when we back the Hawks runner, Remark, there in the first at Rose Hill. They are the three specials for Ron Duffercy. Ron, what do you like on the Gold Coast there tomorrow, particularly in those two feature races?
Yeah, nothing special from me. I'm with the favoured runners in the 2 and 3 year old race. Look, the 2 year old race, if she has any luck from that wide draw, she's all class. I think she'll win. She was just far too dominant at Wyong, and then they run time, and the form out of that race has been franked. And it's hard to deny Isotope's win. I know she has to stretch it to 1400, but she certainly looks like a real in-form sort of mare there, so I'll have to be with her. Outside of that, I feel the last race, there's one there that I thought was very good first up, and she's a real dry tracker. She's peaked on the Gold Coast before, Yamazaki. So race 9, number 10, I think she might be the way to go as far as wanting to have a bet at the Gold Coast.
Yep, race 9, number 10, Yamazaki at $4.40 and $1.90 there for David Pfeiffer in the last. Ron, good luck over the next couple of days. We'll catch you tomorrow on race day mornings.
Thanks, Matt.
There we go, Ron Duffercy previewing Rose Hill for us on Saturday afternoon. Australia, they're 2 for 20. Another wicket has fallen. Marcus Harris is out, so both openers have been dismissed early on day one of that fourth test match between Australia and India. It brings Labuschagne and Smith to the crease. Manus Labuschagne, he's 5 not out. Steve Smith, he's at 3 not out after a terrific performance there at the SCG in the third test match. Some news as well coming through as well this morning, and it's not great news again for those tennis fans that want this Australian Open to get up, myself included. American tennis star Madison Keys, I think she's a former finalist or semi-finalist at the Open. She's pulled out of the Australian Open after testing positive to COVID-19. So another tennis star tests positive to COVID. To be honest, I think that's kind of expected. You were always going to get one or two or three to test positive in this week beforehand. It's just how it's all managed. That here on the Metropolitan Form Express, and a terrific meeting there on the Gold Coast tomorrow for the Magic Millions race day. A cracking $10 million card. And Michael Maxworthy, he is the $10 million man, and he joins us on the line now. Hello, Maxie.
Hello, Matt. Well, I'd like to think so, but it is a great card of racing. I'm here at the sales this morning. I can tell you it's a typical Gold Coast summer's day, not a cloud in the sky, so where the scene is set for the big day tomorrow.
Please don't rub it in, Maxie. Can you help us back a few winners, though?
I think so. We've got the maiden to kick us off, a $250,000 maiden, and I'm going race one, number 16, Newsreader, trained by John O'Shea. She's got the right profile to win this race. She's only had 6 starts for 2/3, but she's had 2 goes in stakes races, and she performed quite well in them. One day she was only beaten a length and a quarter behind the very talented filly Forbidden Love. So good gay. Everything's right for Newsreader to get the money in the first. Then we go to race 3. I'm looking at number 3, Primitivo. This is the sub-zero over 2,400. He won this race 1 year ago, and I reckon John Thompson set him for this race again. He hasn't won since, so he hasn't taken much of a hike in the handicaps. He's only up 1.5. So I think 55.5 kilos is still achievable for him. Glen Boss to ride, he'll sit handy. I'm very keen on him. 3-3 Primitivo. I think he's around about $7. Then we're looking at race 5 for the fillies and mares. And I do like a theory number 2. She's a mare for Godolphin in great form at the moment. As we say with the mares, when they're in form, they usually hold it for a while. And this is perfect for her. She's coming off a win in the Razor Sharp at Randwick, beating the boys. And then she dominated the girls at Eagle Farm last start, winning by 2.5 lengths. So I think she's the other good thing, 5-2. So, Matt, in summing up, Gold Coast tomorrow, 1.16 Newsreader, 3-3 Primitivo, and then 5-2 Aetheri.
Yeah, my memory's not great, Maxie, but I actually do remember 12 months ago you tipped Primitivo on that same race day. So we can get the chocolates there again tomorrow on that terrific card at the Gold Coast. What about in those big races, the feature races, the two-year-old and the three-year-old classics? Who do you like there, Maxie?
Well, we've got a scratching of fake love this morning. So Ranch Hand has got a start. Now, he's around about $12, number 17. Now, I've had to have a rethink because I didn't think he'd get a start, but I've got to bring him right into it. But right now, I'm with the Toby and Trent Edmonds Alpine Edge, number 1. He's unbeaten in 2 starts. So I'm between the 1 and the 17 in the 2-year-old. And then the guineas, I'm looking at a race at Doomben, the Gold Edition, from the 19th of December, and I'm thinking the same can happen here. Isotope ran down a way game in that race, and I think she'll do it again tomorrow. So Isotope to take out the guineas.
Yeah, all the form experts we've spoken to over the last couple of days are with you, Maxie, that Isotope will continue on her winning ways, although Glen Boss, he was very confident that a way game can turn the tables. It is going to be a cracking day's racing at the Goldie, Maxie. Enjoy it. Good luck, and we'll catch you next week.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
There we go, Michael Maxworthy previewing the Gold Coast for us tomorrow. They're about 7.56. This is RSN Central with Matt Nevitt, and it's great to catch up with Richard Friedman ahead of Forbidden Love going around in the three-year-old guineas there at the Gold Coast tomorrow. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm going well, thank you. Have you got any new recruits over the last couple of days?
There's been one or two Michaels up there. I'm not really sure of the number, so I'll have to pass on that.
So you haven't gone up?
No, I'm in Sydney.
Yep. Forbidden Love, mate. Hey, she's been super consistent right throughout her career, and she goes around tomorrow in that three-year-old guineas. But all of the talk's been around Isotope and away game, but she just keeps buttering up and performing well. Is she the forgotten horse there tomorrow?
Not by us. So we think she's got a good chance. She's never really run badly in her life, and she just keeps getting better and better with each prep. So I think she's in a good position there. The other fillies look like nice fillies. There'll be good chances for sure, but they'll want to be on their game.
How's she trained on since that Gosford Guineas win?
Yeah, really well. She really hasn't put a foot wrong, touch wood. A little bit of time to go yet before the race, but so far so good.
She was a little bit slow out of the gates that day at Gosford. She's drawn perfectly tomorrow. What's the plan of attack?
Oh, look, I think you use those inside gates when you get them. You put yourself, you know, in the first bunch, you know, whether that's in the first pair or the second pair, something like that, and just give yourself the best opportunity from there. I don't think getting back from that gate would help, so we'll probably just try and bounce into the box.
So she can certainly win there tomorrow, that big race?
I think so. I think she's a winning chance. You know, there are a couple of other good winning chances in the race, but, you know, luck on the day and, you know, who turns up and who doesn't will tell the story.
Yeah, can't wait for it. It's going to be one of the great races, I think, tomorrow, that three-year-old race there on the Gold Coast. In race number 3, you've also got another runner on the Goldie. You've got Elaborate going around. What can we expect there tomorrow?
Well, he's a great, honest horse. I mean, he's come all the way from, you know, Bush Maidens all the way through his grades to be, a regular competitive Saturday Metro horse now. And you know, he's probably one of the few genuinely competitive Saturday Metro horses in the race, so that puts him in the picture. His big advantage is that he will run out the 2,400 metres, and the others might, but then they might not.
And get the booking of Craig Williams as well, that's a big tick.
Yeah, he's a great jockey, can't be a negative.
And tomorrow at Rose Hill as well, you've got the two going around at this stage, Cognac and Outback Diva. What's the best of those two chances?
I'm not sure we'll run Outback Diva from that wide gate. She's undefeated second up. She's second up theoretically tomorrow, but you know, I'm not sure I want to waste that second up run on a you know, potentially from a wide gate where you've only got three options. You either go and sit outside the leader or lead, or you sit three deep with cover if you could find it, or do you go to the back? So none of them are particularly attractive options for her. Cognac is a new horse for us. He's a European horse. He's trialled very well. I think 1,200 is well short of his best. His distance will be somewhere up around the 1,600 metre mark. But he'll run well. He's just new to the stable and new to Australian racing, so there's a little bit of unknown about him.
So that's at Rose Hill tomorrow. At Gosford, you've scratched a few of your runners there today. Alkahan, he's a dual nominator, also nommed at Kembla as well. Where will we be seeing that horse?
Well, he's running at Gosford today.
Yep.
He's a 2,400 metre horse, having his first up run in a 1,600 metre race. So they may be able to out sprint him, but he'll go right to the wire. If he gets to the front in the straight, or he comes around the bend in front, well, they'll have their work cut out running past him. But you know, you've got to say at 1,600 metres, there might be a couple that are a bit sharp for him.
Big team at Kembla tomorrow as well. What's the best of those?
I think the filly in the first will be hard to beat. Head on up, she's trialled very well. She's got good form out of her only two starts. First up tomorrow, but she's a naturally athletic filly, so she'll be very hard to beat.
Rich, sounds like you've got plenty to follow over the next couple of days, and we look forward to watching Forbidden Love go around, especially in that three-year-old guineas tomorrow. Good luck.
Thanks for that. Hope you're right.
There we go. Richard Friedman previewing all of Richard and Michael's runners over the next...
RSM Central's Form Express.
Welcome back to the Form Express. This is Matt Nevitt this afternoon on RSN Central. It's great to catch up with Adrian Bott ahead of a big day for the Waterhouse and Bott team. They've got runners right around the country tomorrow, and Adrian joins us on Central now. Hello, Adrian.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Going well. How have the sales been? Have you added to your stable over the last couple of days?
Yeah, we certainly have. Got a nice roll-up of youngsters. We were able to secure quite a few yesterday, and we hit the board earlier this morning, and plenty shortlisted for late this afternoon, and again into tomorrow night.
How many in total have you bought up on?
I think we're up to about 15 at this stage. So, look, sort of probably about on average is where they're at most years. But, yeah, definitely a strong market, which is great for a reflection of the confidence in the industry at the moment.
Mate, it's going to be a terrific day's racing there at the Gold Coast tomorrow, and we can't wait to watch Swift Witness go around there in the two-year-old classic. Currently the favourite with the tab. She's a $4 chance at the moment. Gee, the blinkers were a terrific addition to her performance last week.
Yeah, no, really excited to see her step out again. Obviously, they switched her right on. It had the desired effect. Obviously, she's open to plenty of natural improvement off the race itself, and you know, a bit of fitness as well. Look, it's proven to be a successful formula. The backup from this particular race, giving her plenty of time to sort of get up here and get settled in, and she's had a good look around the track there last week, and so look, still felt there was a bit of improvement to come out of that last run, and you know, she's had a nice week, pulled up super, so yeah, all systems go for Saturday.
Yeah, she pulled up well, has she?
Yeah, look, she's really tough filly. Yeah, there's plenty of substance to her. She's a, you know, she's a big gross doing sort of filly, so always sort of have the confidence that it would take a fair bit to sort of knock her around. So coming up here and having that run, yeah, that was no concern for her. We thought she'd really be suited by that, and thankfully she has been, and she's cleaned up all this week.
Are you confident that she's the sort of filly that can handle the backup in a really hot pressure race there tomorrow and take it out?
Yeah, look, I think she can. Like she showed last start, she can handle a hot speed. Like they set a very slick time overall, and ran a quicker time than the Colts on the day. So I guess that tells you that right from the outset there was a fair bit of pressure in the race. And look, she had the speed to put herself there, but opted out of that speed battle. She travelled good throughout. But again, like if there's, you know, you'd always imagine there's going to be plenty of speed there. But look, she's got the tactical speed to put herself from the draw where she is. She's got options, and we've seen she can take a stick, she can pedal, she can relax. You know, she's versatile on that track, which is what you'll need for that race, because yeah, big field there, 2-year-olds on a tight track in a high pressure race. Yeah, it all happens very quickly for them, and little mistakes can sort of board them under quickly. But I think she's better experienced now, and she's versatile in that sense.
Has Brenton had a chance to jump on her as well this week?
Look, not this week. She's up in been up in Brisbane. Look, she hasn't had to do much, so she's just sort of had a nice, easy week. So she's been up at Cricket Stable, and his team has sort of been right on top of it, kept everything consistent. But look, Brenton does a lot of work for us back in Sydney. And look, there's been plenty of times where he would have been on her back at home in the lead-up to, say, Wyong or a couple of her trials before coming up to Queensland. So he's certainly familiar with her and the stable and, you know, the way we sort of like them ridden and whatnot.
Oh, it's going to be a cracking race. She's one of the major chances, and those babies will go around and aim to become million-dollar babies there at the Gold Coast tomorrow. What about in the maiden race on the Goldie? Adrian, you've got two going around, Four Valour and All the Sass, or That Sass, I should say. Are either of those winning hopes in the first?
Yeah, look, I think Four Valour is bringing some great form through. He ran well the other day at Canterbury. He was first up and probably, was just going to improve off the run. It's a little bit... It'd be difficult to ask, setting a horse for a maiden race, So he sort of went in there with a bit of improvement to go with his fitness. He led them up at Canterbury, so he ran an excellent race. He loomed up, kicked strongly, and just sort of peaked on his run there at the furlong, and the fittest stable mate just sort of picked him up there late. So with that bit of improvement, I think it's a nice form reference. Even last campaign, the form's really stood up well for him, so he's better for that. And covered up good, so I think he's a good chance. All That Sass, she's honest, she's consistent. Look, she's run a couple of nice races. She's probably had the benefit of a few extra runs and that bit of extra experience. So she comes up nice, fit and tough, and she'll put in trying because she's that type of filly.
Race 8 is the Magic Millions Cup, and gee, Jow Dash was terrific last week. He did it so easily, and with Barrier 1 tomorrow, he looks the one to beat, Adrian.
Yeah, look, he was very explosive there. Good to see him back to his best. Look, if he handles the back up, there's no doubt he's the one to beat. Looks to probably get just a similar sort of map as it did last time. A nice high pressure race. With sort of plenty of speed drawn outside of him, it should work their way across. Should allow him just to sort of be a nice spot behind the speed. And hopefully just sort of pans out like it did there last start for him. Have him sort of cuddled up nicely and allowing him to sort of be explosive late again. Just need a bit of luck from that draw that he can sort of get out, get the brakes when needed.
Discharge was a little bit unlucky at Canterbury first up. He's the stable mate tomorrow. Can he cause the upset?
Look, he's such a tough, honest horse. His racing pattern and I don't think he really knows how to run a bad race. So you always got to have him in calculations for that. He puts himself on speed. He's just going to do a bit of work from that wide draw. But, the way he stuck on there at Canterbury after doing all that work and sort of having a bit of a battle there on speed with the leader, he was probably a bit vulnerable late there first up and over that shorter trip and just out-sprinted by 11-11. But he'll be better suited by the step up in distance and he'll be much fitter for that run. So, there's a lot of positives that I can push towards him as well and probably provides a bit of value.
You've got great chances at the Gold Coast and you've got a couple of really nice chances at Flemington as well. In race number 4, Narvaez goes around, was able to get that win on the board at Sandown and now out to 2,000 metres tomorrow at Flemington. What are your thoughts here?
Look, he's just starting to piece it all together. He's done a few things wrong in his races. He's sort of probably not the most natural in that sense, but as I said, it's all starting to fall into place for him. He's improved every time out this campaign. He should be better suited by the step up in trip. And hopefully just sort of coming up off the back of a nice win to just give him that bit of confidence and help him, just sort of put it all together and learn what it's all about now.
And Rule the World in race number 6 is another one of your horses that's on the rise, stays at the 1,400 metres, gets the booking of Jamie Carr. How do you expect this horse to handle Flemington?
Look, I thought he was absolutely brilliant there last start. I didn't think he was entitled to win from the position he sort of... the awkward position he got himself into in the run. Obviously, he's proven to be a top-class horse for us very early days. I think he won first three starts and then just sort of didn't sort of quite come up or reproduce that form. And it took him, a good 12 months to recapture that. So I think what we saw on Saturday was him showing signs that he's potentially right back to that best and ready to recapture that early potential he'd shown. Caulfield's not the easiest track for him to get around, but I thought he did it well. I just feel he'd be the type of horse to be better suited to the bigger track and should be better for that run. So, I think he's a quality horse and still got you know, a lot more progression to go.
What's your best chance at Rose Hill there tomorrow, Adrian?
Look, Fullerton's a nice chance for us, an interesting runner. Having his first start for us, so we'll learn a lot more. But he was a quality speed horse in the state. He trialled up well. And it looks to be a nice race for him to kick off in. And looking forward to seeing what he can potentially produce for us on Sunday.
Could be a big weekend for the team, Adrian. Good luck, particularly with Swift Witness there in the two-year-old classic.
Thanks very much.
There we go. Adrian Bott previewing the Waterhouse and Bott runners over the next couple of days. And they do have a tantalising team there heading to the races, both in Victoria, New South Wales, and particularly at the Gold Coast, with Swift Witness there in the feature race. We continue on the Metropolitan Form Express on this Friday as we look at all of those big meetings tomorrow. And it's time to look at South Australian racing with Nadia Horn. Hello, Nards.
How are you, Maddie?
I'm going well, thank you. What is the meeting at Murray Bridge like tomorrow?
Quite a good meeting. Obviously, we've had a few metro meetings at Murray Bridge and Gawler through the month of January to give Morphettville a bit of a rest. And this has attracted some pretty handy horses. But we kick things off in race one. I do think Michael Hickok's going to have a pretty good day. He's got some well-placed horses at his home track. And he's got number five, Don't Dream It's Over, lining up here. Look, he's quite consistent. He's a month between runs, though, following his last start effort, where he rated just a little bit down off of his prior effort where he was able to win. He did come through a very fast run race in that race cup won by Dashing Damsel, which was a totally different race shape to his win prior. The fact that he's going to settle just off them in what looks to be quite a slow run race, and the ratings he's ran to at his past two are clearly good enough to win this. I do think he looks a good bet race one, number five. The next horse I like is another one of Michael's that comes up in race three in the maiden race over 1,000. Number six, Echoes in Eternity, gets the addition of the tongue tie here. And is resuming from a break. Look, the stable pulled enough of it to run it at Flemington over the Melbourne Carnival, where the horse was only beaten two lengths in the run home. It was a really good run on that occasion in the race won by Ali Boom, who, of course, did go on and win another race over the border. This horse looks to be quite progressive. It was a good performance, too, at its first start, where it was a runner-up. So I do think there's a heck of a lot of upside in its chances tomorrow to break its maiden. That's race three, number six, Echoes in Eternity. And the other horse we like comes up in race number eight, Maddie, in the 1,000-metre race. Number one, Hayington Station. Two runs back from a break for Phil Stokes. Has got 16.5 kilos to lump, but does look like it's going to be suited off of a really strong tempo. Run to a very strong number at Caulfield last time out when beat just under three-quarters of a length in the run home in the fourth position. That's a good enough form line for this, and you'd expect it to have improved from it. So the three we like, race one, the five, race three, the six, and race eight, number one.
Nards, good luck at Murray Bridge tomorrow. We'll catch you tomorrow morning on Race Day Mornings with Michael Felgate.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Matt.
Here we go. Nadia Horn previewing Murray Bridge for us. Time to head over to the West, racing at Ascot tomorrow. Peter Anthonis joins us on the line. Hello, Pete.
G'day, Matty. How are you?
Going well. Good meeting there at Ascot tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks pretty solid. Looks perfect weather, a little bit hot and an easterly forecast. That may very well play into the hands of leaders, but typically rail 5 metres should play pretty even otherwise, so I'm looking forward to a good day of racing.
Feature race is the Miss Andretti Stakes. Where do we start with your specials on the card?
Race three will be the best of the shorties on the card. Last of the line was really impressive. First up, it wasn't suited. It was just hitting the line particularly well, and all of a sudden it draws gate two. I think at worst it'll be three back the fence, but more than likely we'll just have leaders back. But it's really the one here that I think we can find. It's $2.30 or so at the tab at the moment. Might get a little bit longer on the day. I've got it marked just even money, so I'm looking forward to kicking the day off in race three with Last of the Line.
Okay, race three, number eight, the first of your specials. Then where do we head?
We'll just go for a bit of value in the last, actually. I've been following Bella's Idol for a while so far, this preparation, and suddenly it's back up in trip for the 1,800. It's a pretty even race. I'm sure a lot of people will find Naughty by Nature and Aberdeen Queen, even Rationality. There's a few there that will have their own backers for sure, but Bella's Idol around $19 or so. I've got it marked closer to that $13 mark. If it's got any sort of intent early, there's not a great deal of speed in this race, and could be quite difficult to get past for a few of those more fancied hopes. So for me, Bella's Idol in the last at $19, I think it's worth a little ticket.
Yep, $19 and $4.80 with the tabs currently in the last race there at Ascot tomorrow. What about in the feature race, the Miss Andretti Stakes? Will Team Parnham take this out with Indian Pacific?
Yeah, I think so. I've got it marked $2.15, so it's not a huge amount of value, not a huge edge there at the moment. I mean, the horses that I could give a small hope to are Essential Spice from gate, so it might be able to just put itself a little bit more into the race. I've got a few knocks on Mervyn at $7. I just don't think he's necessarily an 1,100-metre horse. I think he's better suited over the 1,000, and he did have a small issue leading into the last race. I believe he was scratched, so I think Indian Pacific will be pretty hard to beat in the feature, so it's not really a betting race for me, race 8 on the card.
Pete, if things haven't gone to plan for us tomorrow afternoon at the Eastern Tracks and we're desperately in need of a quaddie to get us out of trouble, are you able to help us out?
Yeah, I am.
Yes.
Race 6, we've got a 2,200-metre staying race, and that's always a difficult way to begin the quaddie, but I'm going for numbers 1, 3, 10 and 11 there in the first leg. Hopefully we just get off to a good start there. I don't really want to be taking too many more. It's not a great race at all. Race 7 is a little bit more value here, I think. Prince Devoutly's gone up pretty short, in my opinion, so I'm going to leave it out, which is always fraught with danger with Pike on board, but 1, 2, 5 and 6, pretty confident one of those horses should be able to knock off the favourite there. Race 8, the feature, the Miss Andretti, will just go over two numbers, Indian Pacific and Essential Spice, that's 3 and 6. And then the last race, Race 9, I've mentioned we're going to have a ticket on Bella's Idol, but I also put in 3, 5, oh, 5 is Bella's Idol, but 3 Juicing Carrots at a bit of odds, 6 Naughty by Nature, 10 Aberdeen Queen and 12, which is Crystal Valley. I'll leave out the favourite in the last Rationale because it just looks, again, just a little bit short at the moment.
Good on you, Pete. Go and get them at Ascot tomorrow afternoon.
Cheers, Matty. Go well.
There we go. Peter Anthonis previewing Ascot from one Peter to another. Time to catch up with Pete Staples, who previews Launceston for us. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. Tomorrow night, big night tomorrow night. Good chances going around. I like a couple in particular, and hopefully we can get to do it again.
Yeah, it is a big night of racing there in Tasmania. Racing on the soft 5. There's 8 races on the card. The first gets underway at 5:39. Where do we start with your specials on the card?
Well, in race 2, it's a class 1 over 1,220, and it's a reasonably strong class 1. But Coronation Keith, it's a 4-year-old by Puissance de Lune, has only had the one start for a win. Impressive win on the bird. And that was on the 12th of December, so there's 5 weeks between runs. I spoke to the trainer, Siggy Carr, and she said that the horse looked, he's never ever shown anything special on the training track, but when he gets to the races, he's only been there once, but he just did everything right, just a natural race horse, and just delivered the goods. He's drawn barrier 1. I'm a floozy, who'll lead this field from barrier 7. He'll just camp behind, and if I'm a floozy tries to get off and pinch it, Troy Baker should be able to just come to the outside and just finish off and be too strong. I was very impressed with the way this horse performed on debut, and I expect him to be a big improver as he goes through this preparation. So race 2, number 2, Coronation Keith, and the only danger, I'm a floozy, so the Cronulla is 2 and 8. And then we go to the lucky last, and that's Siobhan Renegade. This one of Billy Ryan's, it gets to 21.50. It's a benchmark 74. Now, he had him set up for the Devonport Cup, but unfortunately he had a temperature a couple of days before the race and had to pull the pin. So, and he thought he was a huge chance in that race. Well, if he thought he was a chance in the Devonport Cup, he obviously thinks he's a pretty good chance in this benchmark 7-4, and he thinks he's a better horse on grass than he is on the synthetic. Third up from the spell, this is perfect. He'll get back a little bit. Boy, he's got a powerful finishing burst. He won five starts last preparation. He won the lot of them. It showed that he's a really progressive type. And it depends what happens tomorrow night, but he could even consider one of the cups, major cups with this horse. But I do like him a lot, Siobhan Renegade, race 8, number 1. He's the absolute best on the card. And if you wanted something on a little each way basis, then race 4, number 7, Lady. Hasn't identified, there's no rider yet, but I think he's hoping that Brendan McCool will take the ride because he can ride at 57, but just hasn't been confirmed yet. But Lady, race 4, number 7, it's ready to do something, so it'll be about 20 to 1.
Pete, it's going to be a terrific night of racing there at Launceston. We can't wait for it. Good luck tomorrow. Enjoy the races.
Thanks, Matty.
There we go, Pete Staples previewing Launceston for us. Big night of greyhound racing tomorrow night at Warrigal for the Warrigal Cup, and I can't wait to see the superstar in action. Shimmer Shine after his track record performance there last week at Warrigal, and it's great to have Tom Daly along to preview his chances. Hello, Tom.
Hi, how you going?
I'm going well. How is the superstar, Shimmer Shine?
Yeah, he's feeling well. He's right to gas.
He had a long time off and he returned with a scintillating display there in the heats. What was the key to getting him so ready to go there at Warragul in the heats?
Yeah, well, as you say, he had a bit of time off. He'd been racing a fair bit and he sort of got flattened a bit in the Melbourne Cup. So he just had a bit of time off to recover and just get himself right again. And he's been good last week.
You're just breaking up on a touch there, Tom, but was it a case of just, like you said, just needing to give him a spell and a chance to recharge his batteries with a bit of a lengthy spell?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just a bit of a spell and he's come back good.
He's drawn box number 6 tomorrow night. Now, he was terrific from box number 8 in the heats. Do you have any concerns with that draw?
Well, he's not a flying machine out of the box, so he's going to want to step and get a bit of a clear run, so we'll see how he goes. 30 or 40 metres, how it'll go, but you'll need to step off.
Do you think he could possibly improve on his performance last week?
It'd be hard to see him improve because he had sensational last week, but I don't know. The dog has got a huge motor, but if he could win any of that dog, he'd have to go close to winning the race. So hopefully, he can get a clear run early.
Just breaking up on us a touch there, Tom, but we are on board Shimmershine there tomorrow night. Before I let you go, you've also got Faith Bale up against Tigalong Tonk in the match race. What kind of chance do you give him him against Tigalong Tonk there tomorrow night?
Yeah, hard race. It's a very good dog, Tigalong Tonk. She might lead him, you never know. It depends how Tonk.
Mate, good luck tomorrow night there with Shimmer Shine. You are just breaking up on us a touch, but we look forward to seeing the superstar in action there in the Warragul Cup. It's going to be very exciting. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you, thanks.
There we go, Tom Daly. Shimmer Shine goes around in the Warragul Cup tomorrow night, and George Ferrugia joins us now to preview all of the action at Warragul tomorrow. Hello, Georgie.
G'day, Matty. Good little interview. I like when you ask him, can he improve? I mean, it's it's funny because owner Dave Gleeson has come out and said, look, it was his first run back. We think there's probably a little bit more in him, but it's pretty hard to improve off a track record run, isn't it? But look, I think the box draw is going to be really interesting to see how he goes. But if he gets clear air, you'd think he's going to be pretty hard to beat.
Is it as simple as that? If he gets clean air, then it's game over?
Yeah, look, he's a very, very talented greyhound, obviously. The issue with him is there's some very, very fast greyhounds, so he's not going to lead them out. Zipping Zabo's at nice odds off box 5. She's a very, very safe beginner and shows a lot of speed. Catch the Thief, as we know. Aston Gwen, who led the Laurels and Mary Danson, won that race and then backed it up with a really good heat win at Warragul as well. She's going to use a little bit of the track and show some speed, so he's probably not going to have it as easy early on, but I tell you what, once he hits the ground and if he's sort of level pegging, he's a greyhound you're going to want to be on. He's a little bit on the short side, I think, especially from the draw, but yeah, clearly the greyhound on top. If he can win, he smashes past $400,000 in prize money from just 45 race starts. He's an incredible animal, a stud career awaits, and I think having the Warragul Cup on his CV will do him the world of good.
He's the one to beat. There's no doubt about that, Georgie. He's at $1.80 with the tab. The second favourite in the betting is Aeroplane Eric from box number 1. Now, there has been some specking for this greyhound. $5 yesterday, now at $4.20. Do you expect Aeroplane Eric to be the biggest threat to Shimmer Shine's chances?
Yeah, I think the box draw certainly helps. Amazingly, he's never drawn box 1. Well, he's only had the 18 starts, but he's never drawn box 1. He's got a greyhound, Aston Gwen, who does like to use a bit of the track in box 2, and I think the punters have realised that. His run behind Shimmer Shine last week was outstanding. Got beaten 3.5 lengths in track record time. He was only a length and a half outside the previous track record himself. So, yeah, look, he certainly comes into this. He wouldn't want to be led, you know, again, by Shimmer Shine and these type of greyhounds. The interesting greyhound for me is Equalizer. I thought his heat win was unbelievable. I think a lot of the shine was taken off after, you know, Shimmer broke the track record, but Equalizer's run, he began last, he looked towards the fence, got into trouble, powered home, still won in 25.50. Now, he's probably not going to be able to do that against this field and win, but he's a greyhound on the up. He's only had the 23 starts. He's won 11 of them. His record here is outstanding. He's probably the smoky if there is some trouble, but he's going to have to rely on a bit of luck.
9.07 is when they'll jump for the Warragul Cup tomorrow night. Can't wait for it, especially to see if Shimmer Shine can recapture his magic from last week in that Warragul Cup final. What about outside of the feature race tomorrow night, George? What do you like on the card?
Yeah, I'll give people a quaddie, but obviously just check your scratchings and we'll discuss it again tomorrow, Matty. But 1, 2, 3, and 6 into the second leg, 2, 3, and 8, 2, 3, 6, and 8, sorry, into the third leg, 2, 7, and 8, fourth leg, 1, 5, and 6. I do like a couple earlier on in the program. Race 2, number 2, Aston Resort, going for 3 on the trot. A couple of wins at Sale have been pretty impressive. I do like one in race 4 as well, number 1, Eilish. I think it's a talented greyhound. It has placed here. I think it's a bit of a drop in class to it, although the greyhound in box 8 has run very fast at the Meadows recently. I like where she's drawn, and I think she'll be hard to beat as well. So race 2, number 2, race 4, number 1. And, of course, there are 4 heats of the Paws of Thunder tomorrow night at Wentworth Park. Simon Told Helen the $2.30 in the third heat. Well, there's some very talented greyhounds, as you'd expect in this class, but you'd think Simon Told Helen at his best would be hard to beat. The other one I'm really looking forward to is race 6, number 7, Wow. Pickett fencing this greyhound. Took out the Gosford Cup, broke the track record in his heat. He's won 14 out of 23. Cannot wait. Hopefully those two greyhounds progress. Yeah, to the Paws of Thunder final.
Not often you get better than $2 on Simon Told Helen, Georgie.
Absolutely.
Crazy,
absolutely.
Isn't it? Hey,
yeah,
good luck over the next couple of days. It is a massive weekend of greyhound racing. Enjoy it, Georgie, and we'll catch you on Off the Leash next week, or we'll catch you tomorrow on race day mornings as well.
Talk then, mate.
Sounds good. There we go. George Ferrugia previewing the Warragul Cup tomorrow night, and that is the Form Express, the Metropolitan Form Express.